What do we know about the racial disparities involving breast cancer in Delaware, and how significant are they?
Sure. So in Delaware, like we see nationally, there is a higher mortality rate observed for Black women compared to white women across the board, even though the incidence rates, so the rates of new cases, are either pretty similar between Black and white women or even a little bit lower among Black women, but we see higher rates of mortality for Black women. And that's nationally in the order of 40% or so higher. Locally, we see a similar across the board disparity, although when you look at younger women specifically, so if you're thinking like 40 to 64 age group, then that disparity is larger, more in the order of 56%.
Delaware, though, has had some success in addressing disparities involving certain other types of cancer. Can you tell us about that and how it relates to what you hope to do with breast cancer?
In terms of disparities, the greatest success story we can point to is in colorectal cancer, where there was a disparity in both screening, so colonoscopies or other screening tests, and also a disparity in mortality, where Black people were dying at higher rates. So this was, there was a very robust program that was put in place statewide that predates me, but they were successful at first in closing the disparity in screening so that Black and white people were getting the same access and the same rates of screening. And then eventually that translated into the elimination of the disparity. And then that continues through today. So that was, you know, quite an accomplishment, something that has multiple times received national attention, both in the cancer world and just from the general media. And for a lot of reasons, they focused on colorectal cancer as their first disease site because there are some very clear things you can do. We have a screening test that's also can cure you, right? So if you have a suspicious polyp, for instance, when they're screening, they can remove it. And then that, in most cases, cures you of anything that might have developed. When you get to other cancers, like breast cancer, it's more complicated. There isn't as straightforward of an approach. There isn't a single intervention that will close this by itself. So what we want to do is basically recreate the success that we had with colorectal cancer, but do it now in other cancers, like breast cancer. We know it's more complicated, but we are much more sophisticated in our understanding of things. We have, you know, lessons we can draw on from the past. So going forward, you know, we think we're prepared to take on more complex issues and just keep repeating that same success story over and over is our hope.
Now, do we know what some of the reasons behind those racial disparities are as they relate to breast cancer?
Again, nationally, we see that Black women don't have access to the same quality of mammography and other screening, which can lead to delays in diagnosis. And then once there's a diagnosis, nationally, there's data to show that there's delays in getting treatment or that treatment standards are not met. And so all of that can certainly contribute to these disparities we see. There's been a number of studies that have looked at that specific part of this question, and the estimates range in terms of what percentage access to care and prevention explain this, but at least half, if not quite a bit more than half of that disparity can be attributed to other factors outside of just access to screening and care. We see differences in tumor biology. So Black women, for instance, are more likely to be diagnosed with a particularly aggressive subtype of breast cancer called triple negative breast cancer. And that's what I was presenting results at that consortium meeting based specifically on triple negative. We know that there are differences in terms of comorbidities. So conditions like type 2 diabetes are more prevalent among Black women. And we also have evidence that those comorbidities predict a greater likelihood of breast cancer and predict poor outcomes among women who do develop breast cancer. And we know that there are neighborhood effects, that, you know, environmental factors. Living in poorer neighborhoods has been consistently associated with poorer breast cancer outcomes. And then exposures. So there are potentially modifiable risk factors, things like alcohol use or diet, physical activity, reproductive factors, which there are several in that category. All of those things contribute. So it's a very complicated, what we would say, multi-level set of factors that drive this. So anything we do to try to meaningfully reduce the disparity is going to have to take multiple efforts.
And in fact, in your research, you discovered that there were certain what you called hot spots in Newcastle County. What can you tell us about that and how that data might be used?
Yeah, so we did find that there were two areas in Newcastle County. We only looked within Newcastle County for this set of analyses, but there were two areas where we saw a statistically significant elevated rate of triple negative breast cancer relative to other invasive types of breast cancer. So we know that in Delaware, we have among the highest rates of triple negative breast cancer in the country. And I already shared that, you know, that's concerning because it's an aggressive subtype and it disproportionately affects Black women. And then within Delaware, we know most of these cases are in Newcastle County. But then within Newcastle County, now we know there are these two areas where there's even higher rates. And then there are other areas where there are lower rates. So in terms of what do we use this information, how do we use this information to improve upon things? Well, we can think about this at a few different levels. One is certainly healthcare centers and primary care clinics within these hotspots can be sure to do comprehensive screening to make sure that this is a priority for their patients, to make sure we're doing outreach, make sure women are coming in for their scheduled appointments. We can also start to think about what's happening in those communities that might be contributing. And so we can get into this more, but we did look at some risk factors that are associated with breast cancer. And we can't say if this is true in a causal way, but we saw a correlation between a higher rate of those risk factors in these hotspots. So we can think about what can we do at a community level, and then potentially in some of our future work, what can we do to actually do even earlier detection, particularly among women in these communities?
And I think one thing that you had pointed out earlier was the use of alcohol and mm-hmm. how it contributes to breast cancer.
Yeah. So this is not common knowledge, but alcohol is a well-established risk factor for breast cancer. And it's not the leading risk factor, but it is a well-established risk factor. And as it turns out, according to a report that came out earlier this year, Delaware is actually number one in the country for what we would call alcohol-attributable breast cancer. And according to that estimate, nearly one in five breast cancer cases in Delaware can be attributed to alcohol use. So given the link between alcohol and breast cancer and our known issue here in Delaware, we did look at rates of unhealthy alcohol use in Newcastle County, as well as features of what we would call the built environment, including numbers of alcohol retailers that sell alcohol for offsite consumption. And in one of the hotspots, we saw clear evidence of high rates of unhealthy alcohol use, as well as very high rates of alcohol retailers.
You mentioned looking at risk prediction and early detection. What are some of those things you think can be done to address these types of disparities?
One possibility is just to use routine screening, mammography, and other screening forms, but make sure we're actually starting them at the earliest recommended ages. We're not putting it off. We're being very conscientious about doing that, particularly in communities where the risks are higher. But we also know that mammograms by themselves probably are not sufficient to detect these cancers early enough. Sometimes they're harder to detect, the more aggressive cases or the cases that prove to be more aggressive. So the research we're currently doing is trying to understand whether we can use biomarkers from blood to predict risk of breast cancer even before it would be detectable through a mammogram. So similar to the way that if you go to your doctor and you get a cholesterol test and your doctor uses the results from your cholesterol test to understand what's your risk of developing heart disease and what things can we put in place today, should we put in place today to help prevent or manage that risk. We don't really have a comparable lab test for breast cancer. That's what we're working towards. We're in the early stages of that biomarker discovery research. But by fully engaging with the entire community, including women who are most at risk, then we're in a better position to actually identify those biomarkers. And I'm doing, I should just be very clear that this is research that involves large teams. I'm just one member of the team. This is very multidisciplinary in nature.
Are there any other additional steps that you plan to take?
Another step that I think that we can take, which is why I was presenting to the consortium, is we would like to look at this statewide. I mentioned we only looked at this in Newcastle County. We were using data from our own cancer center registry. So we would like to partner with the state cancer registry to look at this statewide so we can also potentially identify other areas in the other counties where we should focus. A third thing that we can do, I mentioned this briefly before, but what can we do in these communities? So in the other hotspot, we found that there was an issue around obesity. And we also know obesity is a well-established risk factor for breast cancer and poor outcomes. So there are community interventions that have been shown to work, even in predominantly Black neighborhoods where prior interventions haven't been tested or tried. We now have good research to show that there are things we can do to address obesity at a community level, as well as unhealthy alcohol use at a community level. So I think we can think about what would the organizations, which organizations would want to partner, how could we implement something like that, put into practice these evidence-based approaches so that we're addressing these general modifiable risk factors, which, by the way, not only reduce, if we were successful, would not only reduce the risk of breast cancer, but would reduce the risk of a lot of chronic diseases. So those are several things we can do. Like I said, it would take multiple efforts. These are complicated issues. But the main point I really want to convey is it's more a matter of will than it is lack of knowledge at this point. We have enough tools in our toolbox that if we use them, we can make a meaningful dent. We're still doing research because we want to go further, such as with the biomarker research. We want to do better and we want to add to that toolbox. But we can also start doing things in the very short term that can make a meaningful impact.